I'd invite you, if you brought your copy of the scriptures, to turn to Luke 2. We're going to read entirety of the Christmas account in Luke chapter 2. You can read it off of the screen if you want to just follow along with me there. And this is a good practice, I think, with your family each year as well. You know, it's good on Christmas morning to just gather around together and read the Christmas account and remember what we're talking about and what we're remembering and celebrating on Christmas morning. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for him in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and had been told. What a wonderful reminder for us, this time of all times, with the things that are going on in our world and the crazy upheaval that seems to be pressing in on us, that Christ entered into our experience. That now we can just, this time, you know, I think it's just wonderful for us just to step back from the voices that want to talk to us and speak into our lives and think about Christmas time, Christ coming, Jesus Christ, his birth, why he came, what we should be thinking about this season. The birth of Jesus was, of course, miraculous. It goes without saying that it's in this text today. He was conceived miraculously. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Mary was a virgin. She had never known a man. And she became pregnant. She didn't understand how that was possible, of course. But she was Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was born of a virgin. They read this text in the program this morning as well. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and call his name Emmanuel." And that word Emmanuel literally means God with us. And so the prophet Isaiah gave a prophecy hundreds of years before the coming of Christ that his mother would be a virgin, and then that he would be God with us. As we read and as the children portrayed there in the program, the angels heralded his birth. The angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them. They were filled with great fear. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." And then you see what the angel said to them. "Unto you, in the city of David, a Savior Christ is born." Just take a minute and put yourself there. You know, we can identify, I think, with shepherds. You know, live in Iowa or farming land, and what it would be like to be that, you know, just a normal working type person, and probably most all of us are. And you're just at your job, you're just going about your day. Pretty boring probably at night being a shepherd, unless there's a lot of wolves or bears or something to take care of. You know, most of the time you're probably just sitting around thinking, chit-chatting, probably pretty awesome with the look up at the night sky and the stars and everything, you know, out there. And making sure the sheep are doing the right thing and they're not wandering off. And then, bam, the glory of the Lord, the radiance, the bright radiance, the shining glory of the Lord shone all around them. And there's an angel standing there talking to you of all people. Wouldn't that be amazing? Now, I called that a good day at work. Yeah, don't you think? I mean, here you're just having your normal day, and the angel appeared to you and says, I've got some good news for you. The Savior has come. That's a miraculous birth in my book. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, prophesied that you would be born this way hundreds of years before, that you would be called God among us, and then heralded by angels. Jesus' birth fulfilled prophecy in so many ways. He was born lowly in a stable. He was born in Bethlehem. He had to be born in Bethlehem. And his parents just went there for the census. You, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the cities of Judah, from you shall come forth one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is of old, from ancient of days. Even that is something that would be hard to understand unless you know about Christ. The parents he was born to, his genealogy, as we see in the book of Matthew, he lays out the entire genealogy of Christ. He had to be born of David. And then even his name, the name Jesus, means Savior, Yeshua. He'll save. He saves. Jesus is a Savior. So everything about his birth was miraculous. His birth also demonstrated the grace of God. That's, again, important for us as humans. When you think about the birth of Christ, you know, they had the story up here. I really liked, I think that was Draven that had that beard. I'm really kind of thinking about that now. Instead of this, I'm thinking clear to here. That was pretty awesome to think about. But think about the manner of his birth and how that should connect our thoughts with the grace of God. If you were God and you were going to send your only son into the world, would you send him that way? Would you send him to Israel of all places? I don't even want to go near that place. Would you send him to Israel? In the middle of nowhere, to Bethlehem? You're too little. I mean, to lowly Israel, lowly Bethlehem, to lowly Joseph and Mary. You know he's not going to have a real rich life. I mean, it's going to be a poor carpenter's son's life to be, and that was one of the things they said would be a sign to the shepherds even. You're going to find a baby in an animal feeding stall. That's just not normal. You know, look for that. When you see that, that's what you're looking for, right? You see, would you send your son like that into the world? Would you have your son born in a garage with animals and laid in a wooden thing which you feed the animals in? That really points out the grace of God to us, doesn't it? It was his poverty, the things he was subjected to. Even to subject Christ to the whole birth process is stunning and reminds us of the grace of God. To be married to Mary, such a young girl, and Joseph, a man from nowhere. He could have made him born to a wealthy family, could have just came as a full-grown man, he could have came to Rome, at least Jerusalem, right? But he didn't. Why would God do such a thing? Notice this. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. The birth of Jesus Christ, even the manner of his birth, shows us and helps us understand the grace of God in a new way. You know, our culture is trying to celebrate this verse, but in the wrong way. We've decided, you know what? I got the best idea of how to celebrate the birth of Christ. Massive profits. We call it Black Friday. That's a soul-stirring title for something, isn't it? Black Friday. Massive profits. There is a massive profit, but it's the profit that we really need. We need the profit of the soul. We need true riches. What Christ came to do is deliver us from our sin. Notice that he became poor so that we could become rich. It's an amazing revelation of the grace of God. That Christ would leave the glory of heaven and the worship of angels and the purity of a sinless existence, pure fellowship within the Trinity of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, nothing to change any of their experience. And then Jesus would come as a baby to be born in the lowliest of circumstances, subject himself to the birth process, be born in an out-of-the-way, nowhere place, and even to the point of laid in a feeding trough. It demonstrates the grace of God. He did become poor for us. That's encouraging for me, and I hope it's encouraging for you today. Because one of the things that every Christmas I remember, and I remember this about all the time, I'll be honest with you, is that Jesus identifies with nobodies. He identifies with the lowly, with the poor, with the humble, with the people that are from nowhere, that have nothing, that have so little. Jesus fully identifies with us in every way. It's an awesome thing to remember and to think about. None of us here will probably ever be great. You might be, that's fine. But I've kind of settled on that. I know I won't be. You know, the hardest thing for me to swallow is it's good for me. It is really good, man. I had a friend a few years ago that said if I had won the lottery, it would ruin me. And I've thought about that a lot since, you know. And if I was great, it would ruin me. I know my heart. I could not handle greatness. There is no way I would be destroyed. God is just that good to me to keep me right where I need to be. And he identifies with me fully. It's an awesome thing. The carpenter's son knows what it's like to be you. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted with we are, yet without sin. He lived a real life just like you and I. He experienced the realities of this world, and he knows what it's like to be us in this world. That's an awesome thing. The demonstration of God's grace. The true meaning of Christmas, then. I was reading over my notes today and trying to see what the heck I thought I was talking about when I put these down a few months ago. And when I wrote it down, there was twin truths is what I thought would be most relevant for us, I suppose, this morning. Twin truths. There's much more. It's much deeper. But if we could just at least center on, meditate on, absorb these twin truths, I think it would be helpful. And the first is obvious. Christmas is about God becoming flesh. That's the obvious. The first of the twin truths is that Christ came. That Christ came, and he came in the flesh. He came as a real person. He came as a normal person, an actual person, not anything that was great or whatever. He came as just a normal person to a normal family and a normal experience and lived the whole thing. But he wasn't just any old person. He wasn't just any old person, any old human. He came miraculously. And so that's what Christmas is about. It's about Christ coming in the flesh. And then with that, then, the other truth that's intimately tied to that, I think it's so easy to lose that during Christmas time because we focus on the baby in the manger and we focus on all of the joys of the season or whatever. But there was a reason that he came like this. He came like this to save us from our sins. That's part of that twin truth. Why in the world would Jesus come as a real baby or even as a man at all? Couldn't God just appear as a spirit and just say, hey, look, you guys have broken my law. There's a problem. Look at me. I'm holy, right? He didn't, because that wouldn't solve our problem. He had to come as a real man because a real man and real people have sinned and broken God's law. So a real man was needed to take care of that problem. So Jesus came. Christmas is about that, and it's about his coming then, the second truth, the twin truth, to save us from our sin, to save mankind from our sins. He came so that he could die on the cross of Calvary. I can't imagine. I mean, the angels eventually told Mary that the things that would happen to him would pierce her soul. I can't imagine what it would be like. Can you imagine if you were holding your dear, precious baby and you knew this baby was born to die on the cross? This baby was born to die for the sins of mankind. Now, that's us humanly. Did you know the Father knew that before he sent Christ? Think about that. I'm sending you to take the whole weight of sin on you. That's heavy. It's amazing. He came so he could die. He had to be a real man, to be a substitute sacrifice, to die in our place, to take our penalty, and he did. And so the true meaning of Christmas is Jesus Christ, God's answer to our greatest problem. And man, do we need it. We need it. We need it. Look around your world. You know, I my family usually fills me in on the crazy stuff that's coming. I don't watch the news. I just refuse to. Why do it? It's depressing, this place that we live in. I get enough depressing news on Thursday during counseling day and interacting with people in their lives. We need a Savior in this place. We are all sinners. Guess what? There's good news. There's an answer for people like us. Jesus came and died on the cross. So for us, what are we going to do about this? Some of us would need to trust Jesus as our Savior. We need to recognize, realize that we are part of this problem. We're sinners. We do things that are wrong, hurtful, sinful. If you're honest with yourself, you'll find that you do it often. You hurt people in your life and needlessly very often. We break God's law. We need a Savior. Some of us need to just repent of our sin and trust and turn to Him. It's a wonderful freedom that you receive in Christ. For the rest of us, if you've accepted Christ, what are you going to do with this? We can file it and say it's Christmas time, we're having a Christmas message, it's interesting that Jesus came, it's interesting that He came to die for my sins. We can file that in the I've heard that before category. Or we can say, you know what? I'm going to make much of Jesus Christ in my life. I'm going to think about every day what He has done for me, the poverty He lived in, the things that He experienced, the glories that He left, the manner of His birth, the manner of His life, the things that He taught me, the nature of His character, and I'm going to glorify Him. I'm going to make steps today to make much of Jesus Christ, to the same, repent of my sin and trust Him. It's easy. I don't know about you. It's easy for me to get caught up in American Christmas. Stores, gifts, travel, even family can be the main focus of Christmas. And some of the, you know, those are okay or even good. Right? You know, it's good to love your family and to spend time with your family. It's okay. We are blessed in America. It's okay to buy and have things unless the thing is the thing that rules you. But is that the meaning of Christmas? I have a friend that's not a believer. He's a very hardcore atheist. And he said he hates Christmas. And I asked him why. It's commercialized. He works in retail. You know, it'd be a stretch if he worked in retail, amen. You know, the crazy stuff you see. It's easy to get caught up in American Christmas. But be sure as a believer that you exalt Jesus, that you're a witness of His greatness and His grace, that you praise Him publicly, that you make much of Him in your life, and that you remember the twin truths, that He has come to save us. I'm going to read this as we close. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and of the peace, there shall be no end. I'm looking forward to that, are you? Oh man, I'm looking forward to that. On the throne of David and over His kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice, with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. What a wonderful truth and hope that we have. I invite you to pray with me. God, thank You for this opportunity to look into Your Word again, to think about the real meaning of Christmas. You know our heart needs more than we do. Thank you for the encouragement and the demonstration of your grace in the person and work of Jesus Christ. God, help us as we seek to respond in a way that pleases you from wherever we are. We thank you for the dear hearts and sweet spirit of these little ones that came and ministered to us today, and the adults that led them. God, I pray for them. I pray that you would encourage them, and grow them, nurture them. Lord, help them to know you. Help their families as they seek to raise these dear little ones in a way that pleases you as well. God, give them stability and love and grace. God, surround them with your arms of protection in this increasingly crazy world that we live in. God, use them for your glory. Continue, Lord, to let them know you, and so that they are filled with a fiery passion for Christ, his word. God, this season, as we meet many people going about their days, focusing their attention on the things of this world, many that are dealing with loss or hurting or lonely, some that are just alone during this season, give us words of wisdom, arms of grace, a spirit of compassion as we interact with people. And God, help us to be a part of the solution that you've given for this world and not part of the problem. Glorify yourself through us. In Jesus' name, amen.